Today, this message is called Feeding the Sheep. Feeding the Sheep.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Father, thank you for the time of worship. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the name of Jesus that you gave us to use as your believers in Christ. And Father, today I'm asking that you would take this word that you have placed upon my heart, and Father, you have ministered to us, and that you would let us take it and move forward with your kingdom. And we'll thank you for that now, Lord. Open your word to us and let it become alive in the name of Jesus. God's people say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Excited to be here today. I know I've had a couple weeks off. Pastor Aaron preached the week before, and then the Stevens family here last week. And I think Laura said to me, well, you've had a couple weeks off, now get to it, right? Well, I don't know if she said it in those words, but
thank you.
Amen. But it's time to preach the word. Amen. And, you know, I'm so thankful every day that God gives to me to be able to be here and to preach the word. And today we're going to be talking about a message that I think is near and dear to the Lord's heart. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 21. The Gospel of John, chapter 21. Now, take you back into these times. Jesus is now resurrected from the dead. He's seen of over 500 people. And now we come to the time that the disciples, they're like, well, I'm going to go back fishing again. Because that's what they knew. And the Lord brings them back, and I love this. Chapter 21, verse 12. They're out there fishing, and they land a great net of fish. And Jesus said to them, verse 12, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Now, interesting, he's on the shore. They're out there fishing. He's on the shore. And he's going to have lunch for them. What a great time. Amen, David? Jesus then came and took the bread and gave them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. And when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? And he said unto him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Today, this message is called Feeding the Sheep. Feeding the Sheep. So I want to talk about this, and immediately when you hear this story, most of us think, well, this sermon is just for those that are called to bring the word. This feeding of the sheep means shepherds or pastors, that's their job to feed the sheep. And a lot of us stop there. But it's also for the believer as well. Amen. The believer that's not called to be a pastor or a shepherd or a teacher or an evangelist. And we're going to talk about these things today in feeding the sheep. And very interesting that the Lord said to Peter three times, feed my sheep. How many of us understand that it's so very important to Jesus that his sheep get fed? And this is one thing that I want all of us to understand. God does not want his sheep to be malnourished. He doesn't want us to go around looking like we've never had a meal. He wants us to be well nourished in his word. But at the same time, God's very important here that we understand that we get nourished with good word and not word that comes from other sources. So this feeding of the sheep is so important, and it spoke to my heart as the Lord was ministering, because these two areas, number one, first the shepherd. I want to talk about the shepherd here and what God thinks about the shepherd and the responsibilities of the shepherd. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 as we begin digging into this subject of feeding the sheep. 1 Peter chapter 5. Again, this is Peter now speaking, whom the Lord had said, feed my sheep. So I think he has a pretty good idea here of what he's talking about, don't you? So he's now going to speak to the church here in chapter 5. Verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and of the partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. So this is God's call for the shepherd. So I'm speaking to the shepherds, to the elders, to those that are called. Peter now says, feed the flock of God. He says, I want you to take the oversight of the flock of God. Now, sometimes people that were within the body of Christ that are sheep don't like to be told what to do. I didn't get very many amens out of that statement. Sheep sometimes don't like to listen. I'm going to say that one again. One more time. Sheep sometimes don't like to listen. Oh, I'm getting something here now. And I find this especially in the United States of America. Because what we're taught here in the culture that we live in is I don't have to listen to anybody. I can be my own boss. Don't tell me what to do. Is there anybody like that in here? I didn't say anything. Okay? Don't tell me what to do. When it is very clear here in the Word of God that part of the call of the shepherd is to take the oversight thereof. And to help the sheep and to guide the sheep in the direction that God would like for the sheep to go. Now, I got a lot more to go here, but sometimes the sheep need to be corralled. And sometimes they need to be picked up by the back of their neck. sometimes kicking. And I never forget, and I've talked about this before, a pastor out in California said he was tired of the ministry, threw his Bible down after church on his desk and said, "I'm done." And somebody came in as associate pastor and he said, "They never told me when I got into the ministry that sheep bite." And sometimes they do. But taking the oversight is part of what the pastor and the shepherd's job is to do. Not doing it by constraint, but willingly. In other words, when God calls to this position, it has to be a willingness to say, "God, here I am, use me." And that deals with all the biting and kicking and screaming and all the oversight issues that take place within the body of Christ, but doing it willingly. And I don't know of a shepherd at any point that has thrown up his hands and said, "God, I can't do this. I can't deal with these folks, with these sheep. And God has to bring us in and say, "Willingly, you offer your service to me. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." Not doing it for pay. Not doing it for what I can get out of the congregation. But doing it willingly. Neither as being lords over God's flock, but being an example to the flock. And again, this is the call of God for what God has asked for the individual to feed the flock. That he is doing this not for money, not as being a lord over the flock and saying, "You will do what I say when I say to do it and how I say to do it." That's being a lord over the flock. Now, if a shepherd takes that approach, they deserve for someone to say, "You ain't telling me what to do." But the flip side of that is being an example. Being an example to the flock so that when you are leading, that the flock can follow. So very, very important. And, you know, I say this to all that are in the ministry, teachers, preachers, Pastor Aaron and I, we have to be the example in order for you to follow as a sheep. That is a responsibility, and if we are not doing it, we will be held accountable. God's charge now to the shepherds. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, "I charge you, therefore," verse 1, "before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch you in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry." Wow. That's the charge that's given to these shepherds that I was talking about. Preach the word. Be ready at all times. That might mean at 2 o'clock in the morning. It might mean wee hours of the morning. It might mean right before you're getting ready to go to bed. You're exhausted from the day. But a time comes in of ministry when the flock needs you. Do the work of an evangelist, making full proof of your ministry. The call to the shepherds. Now, the warning to the shepherds. This is what God has called the shepherds to do. But if the shepherd is not doing this, turn with me over to Jeremiah chapter 23. And from the time that God had called me to ministry and asked me if I would pick that call up, this was something and continues to this day to be the driving force with me. And I try to impress this on all of our teachers and preachers, those coming through the ministry training center. Chapter 23 of Jeremiah, verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastors, saith the Lord. We've talked about the word woe a lot here at Living Water Church. Woe to them that destroy and scatter. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock. You have driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. Wow. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whether I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they will be faithful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord God. Woe to the shepherds that lead my people astray. Today, we have a lot of shepherds that are leading the flock away from the things of God. Because of filthy lucre, becoming rich, only doing this because of the fame, and bringing a word of God that is a soft doctrine, and not teaching the things of God. Woe to those pastors. You know, I've had more than one say to me, if you would just preach some nice things, your church would be full. I mean, just tell people that they're blessed. They're going to be blessed. God's going to give them money. They're going to have a great life. All they need to do is come to church and give money. And life will be blissful for them. And they're going to get to go to heaven. And they're going to have all kinds of wonderful things. Just preach that kind of thing. And the church will just thrive. And I know some have. But I cannot get away from this scripture. Woe to the people, the pastors that lead my flock astray. So this call is for anybody that's going to preach the word. Woe if you lead people astray and teach them other than what God says in His Word. Now, there's two kinds of shepherds. And I want to teach this. I know we teach this in the Ministry Training Center. But there's two kinds of shepherds that are in this world today. And if you turn with me over to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, that's that famous verse there, the thief cometh not in verse 10, but the kill, steal, and destroy. I am come that you might have life and that they might have life more abundantly. But look at these verses. I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. I give my life for the sheep. He that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. The two types of shepherds that the Bible talks about is number one, a hireling. They're only doing it for the money. They're only doing it for the fame. But when troubles come, I'm out of here. And the wolf comes and scatters the sheep and destroys the flock. But there is a true shepherd, one that will stay with the flock. Jesus said his sheep hears their voice and knows him. The shepherd that is called of God to shepherd the people of God needs to stay with his people. Understand their burdens. Bearing burdens together with them. And being known of that congregation. That's the call of the shepherd. Feeding the sheep. That's their job. Now I want to move on into the second portion of this. Believers, are we called to feed sheep? And after hearing this, a lot of you say, nope, that's your job. Well, we're going to look at this as well. Titus chapter 2. Very small book there in Titus, chapter 2. Titus was another son of the Apostle Paul that Paul mentored and taught. And he writes this letter to Titus. And he says this to him, "But speak you the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becomes holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." So when we look at this particular scripture here, he continues on with this thought, "Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." Now, he is not just talking about old people here when he says the aged. He's talking about those that are mature men and women believers in Christ. He's telling the older gentlemen that you are to mentor the younger gentlemen, the younger men in the faith. He's telling ladies, you are responsible as a believer in Jesus Christ to mentor those that are younger than you, feeding them the things of God. And I can tell you today that we live in a world that young men and young women have no idea how to serve God in our current culture, folks. And this is a burden that God is placing upon my heart, that we begin to see some discipleship and some mentoring going on, because they actually don't know how to live the kind of godly life. Recently here, Pastor Aaron shared about Charlie Kirk. And what we have seen by his death is that multiple young people are now coming and checking out and giving their hearts to Jesus, and they need mentored. Young women need mentored. Feeding. And all of us that sit in this church, we all like to say, well, but you know, that's not my ministry. It is your ministry. Men, your ministry to mentor others in the faith. Women, your ministry to mentor young women in the faith. How to live godly lives. Because I can honestly tell you, they do not know how to. God is speaking to us about feeding the sheep. Over in the book of Galatians, turn over there with me. This one here is particularly important to us. Brethren, chapter 6 of Galatians, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. How many of us have sat in church for a long period of time? Come on, raise your hand. How many have been in church more than a year? How many of you have heard at least 100 sermons? Now, I know if you've heard 100 sermons from Living Water Church, you've heard a very well-rounded gospel of Jesus Christ in the Word of God. So that tells me that you are taught in the Word. How many of you would agree? You say, I'm not raising my hand, I'm not being incriminated. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. What are we supposed to be doing, church? Feeding. Sharing. Communicating. Sharing what we know and what God has taught us. Our job is not to sit in the pews and get fat on the Word of God. Just sit there and say, oh, I got another good meal today, Pastor. Thank you so much. I'm enjoying it. Well, good. I'm glad you're enjoying it. But our job is to share it. Is to feed it to those that need to know it. Please don't tell me that's not your ministry. Because it is. How many of you have done with this sermon so far? Well, I'm not done yet. Now, I want you to notice in the opening text of John chapter 21 that we read, how many times did Jesus say, feed my sheep? Three times. So, feeding the sheep is important to Jesus. And he tells Peter that three times. Now, really in the translations of it, I'm not going to get you all lost of it, but it means to tend the sheep, to supervise the sheep, and to give them some good spiritual food as he was talking about this. Now, I believe that this food comes in three stages. Because Jesus said three times, feed my sheep. And I believe that he's talking about something that I have a little acronym for. It's called MUM. M-U-M. We're not talking about fall mums here, okay? We're talking about what Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, it's interesting to me, and I'll just say this. Dee was trying to share a scripture here earlier, and Landon walked in with Genevieve. And everybody lost what you were saying, Dee. It all went to that little one coming in. Come on, how many of you saw that? Come on. Does she need to be fed? She's got to be fed. And so, this acronym, MUM, I believe we got three stages. We need to be fed with milk. You're not feeding her steak, are you?
No.
Guys? Not yet? Okay. The milk. And the U would stand for unadulterated Word of God. Unadulterated food. And the last one would be meat. So milk, unadulterated food, good food, and meat. So I want to talk about these three things and how we feed those in those different stages. Because not everybody's in the same stage. So you can't, a lot of us say, okay, I understand now that I'm supposed to help feed others. And here's what I'm going to bring to a new believer. I'm going to start cramming some things down their throat that are very difficult things to understand because you got to get this. Wrong. Can't do that. Can't do that. Number one, it has to be the milk of the Word. What is the milk of the Word? What's the basic teachings of the Word of God? Those are basic things. And look over with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 is where we're going to go first with this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So here he speaks of some basic concepts here of the Word of God. This is considered milk, laying aside all of your malice, laying aside being a hypocrite, and envies, and speaking evil of others. Those are some basic things of the doctrines of being milk of the Word. And some of us say, whoa, if those are milk, I might be missing it here. If we're carrying malice and we're being hypocrites and we're speaking evil of others, we need to look at this. Maybe we haven't mastered yet the milk of the Word of God. Wow. Wow. It gets even better. Turn back now to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. The writer of Hebrews is telling these folks here, therefore, verse 1, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So what does he say are basic things here, Miss Patty? Basic things are what? The doctrine of Christ. Repentance from evil works. Baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead. These are all basic milk of the Word. And if you're sitting here today and you don't know these concepts, I think we need to get a hold of these things and learn these things and study these things because these are what's considered basic milk of the Word. So when we are giving milk to a newborn believer, we need to share with them about repentance. When you come to Christ, you need to ask God to forgive you. Listen, it is not about someone standing up in a pulpit and saying, listen, all of you that want to become members of the church, you just come or you show up in this class. It's held on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. Now, we don't have one of them classes here, okay? Making it such the case That if you just come to the class and you become a member of the church, you're good to go. You'll make heaven after that. You know how many churches preach that? If you're a member, you're going to make heaven. That's not even the milk of the Word. The milk of the Word is repentance. Turning from my wicked ways. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Repentance to salvation. You don't come to faith in Christ without repentance. The milk of the Word here, folks. Baptism and what baptism is all about. Do you know how many people that sit in church that still have no idea what baptism is about? Well, you know, the preacher told me that if I would just get baptized and stand in the line and get down under that water and come back up, I'm going to heaven. Or if I was a child and I got sprinkled, listen, I know I may be stepping on some toes here, but that is not the doctrine of baptism. Amen. Baptism says, I know that I have confessed my sins, believed in Jesus Christ, and I am now being buried with Him in baptism. That old man is dead, a new man is coming to life. There is absolutely no way that being sprinkled that that child understands that. It comes from knowing Christ and giving your heart to Jesus Christ. I thank God that at 8 years old, the Spirit of God spoke to me and I knew I was a sinner and I repented before the Lord. And then they said they were having baptisms in the pool at the Christian camp that I was at. They tried to get a hold of my parents and my parents didn't answer the phone because we didn't have cell phones back then. That was in ancient days, okay? At 8 years old, I understood that I wanted to be buried, that old man, and alive to Jesus. So they said I couldn't get baptized, so what did I do? I snuck in the line of the kids being baptized, and they baptized me. The baptism of doctrine. That doctrine of baptism, know why. That's a milk situation. That's a milk of the Word. Jesus being resurrected from the dead. That's milk. It's believing. Jesus said, feed my sheep. To those that need to know these things, you teach them those things. Teach them those things. And that's for both shepherds and those of us that are responsible for teaching other young people in the things of God. Number two, the unadulterated Word of God. How many of you have heard that term unadulterated before? And simply what that means is it's not corrupted. It's not distorted. It is not falsified. It is not, listen to this one, twisted to fit personal beliefs. It's not mixing God's truths with human theologies and human doctrines, man's doctrines, or misusing Scripture for personal gain. We'll talk about that for a minute. This has to be unadulterated. We cannot use the Word of God to fit my personal belief. Do you know how many do that? We're doing things and we justify it by the Word of God. We're doing things that are God has convicted us of, but yet we can find a Scripture that will justify it to fit my personal needs. The Word of God should never be used like that. It should not be twisted. It should not be distorted. But listen to this. That last one that I said, mixing Scripture and misusing it for personal gain. Woe to the shepherds and those that stand up, and we all know and we've all heard them on radio and TV, that stand up and say, this is what the Word of God says, that if you will give this amount of money, the Lord will give you back 10%. You invest in Him, He's going to invest in you. Right now I hear the Lord saying to 1,000 people, you are to give $5,000. How many of you have heard those kinds of things before? Because the Word of God says, give and it shall be given to you, good measure pressed down and shaken together. Yes, the Word of God does say that. But it's been distorted. Never use the Word of God in that manner, folks. That's passion for me. Never do that. A couple of scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. For we not as many corrupt the Word of God. Many corrupt the Word of God, but the Apostle Paul said we're not going to do that. We're not going to corrupt it, but we're going to bring it in sincerity. Don't use the Word of God for your personal gain, folks. Because there's an accountability that's there. Again, over in 2 Corinthians, just turn over a chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 now. I'm sorry, chapter 4. Look at this. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we don't faint, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those which do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. It should never be that you are feeding this adulterated Word of God to someone, handling it dishonestly, but do it what God has said. Last scripture on that one, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. The Apostle Paul said this, beware of the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. I want to tell you here that sometimes, and we see it quite often in our world today, churches do things because that's the way it's always been done. That's the way we do things around here, and we ain't changing it no matter what the Word of God says. It's our tradition. It's what we do. Beware. Beware of those things. The last one is the meat of the Word. The meat of the Word. The meat of the Word is solid food that one must be mature enough to digest it. It's the solid food of faith. We have to be mature enough to be able to digest it. Little Genevieve, she can't eat steak. Her system just can't handle it. Right? Tucker, don't give her any, okay? You already have? Okay. Our systems as believers in Christ, as we begin to mature, we can begin to handle some deeper things in the Word of God, the meat of God's Word. And it's so important that We as believers, I would say this, don't just feed yourself on milk. Get into the deeper things of God. If you've been a believer for any length of time, open yourself up to the deeper things of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 5, here is what the Word of God says about this. Look at verse 12. For when, for the time, you ought to be teachers, feeding others, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. That's not a good verse. In other words, the writer is saying, by now, you should have been able to take this meat. But you haven't been able to. You haven't been able to grow. Why haven't we been able to grow as believers? Because we don't want to. We don't want to take the meat of God's Word. We don't want to go deeper in the things of God. We're satisfied with where we're at. Just give me the Twinkies. That's all I want is the Twinkies. I want it to taste good. I don't want to hear things that cause me to grow. And then when we do hear things and we reject them and say, no, I don't want that. I want to stay just like I am. Just a baby. I just want to stay here. The Lord is not happy with that. He is not. Because the time that we ought to be teachers, we've been around long enough, but we're not. There's quite a rebuke there. All we want is the milk. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He is a babe. Wow. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, and who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Do you know what that means? By reason of use, it means that they have made it a habit. They have continued to use what God has given them. In other words, they don't just sit and hear it. They use it and let it change their lives. And they become stronger and stronger and stronger, able to get more and more meat. But if we're sitting here just enjoying the Twinkies, I don't want any more. I don't want to use what I've heard. You're going to stay a babe. And one day, the Lord is going to ask, why did you stay a babe? When you had all the Word of God available to you, why did you stay a babe? And what answer will you give? What answer will I give? Solid food belongs to those who use their senses, use what God has given to us. If God says, create in me a clean heart, that's what I want. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Some of us don't want to ask that because we're happy with where we're at. Lord, I want to see if I'm in the faith. Challenge me every day to change. Change. Feeding the sheep, folks, it's for both the pastors, the shepherds, the teachers, and the congregation. The flock to teach each other and teach those that need to know. Because listen, the shepherds can't get around to everyone. But God has placed individuals in your life that you can share the Word of God with. Amen? Now, if you go back with me, I want to finish off here in the book of Galatians again, chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and we read part of this. But now we're going to skip down to verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall what? Reap, if we don't faint. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. God's going to give us opportunity to feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. As you therefore have opportunity, let it go. Feed the sheep. Figure out, do they need meat? Do they need milk? But especially, they need it to be unadulterated. Amen? Amen. Feeding the sheep of God. Let's do it, church. Amen. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you have spoken your word for each one of us today to live the word, to be doers of the word, and not be babes, God. Father, I ask that you would forgive us for taking our stances of we're okay, we just want to stay where we're at. I ask that you forgive us. I pray that you would challenge us, Lord, each one of us, challenge us to become stronger and more mature. And continue to feed us the meat of your word. And I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.